Hello, Star Wars fans. We are back with another episode of the Starlight Podcast. We have our usual suspects. We've got Lord Dagovir.
Yo, what's up, fam?
And we've got, of course, Daddy Sheev, aka Jonathan Bates.
What up?
We are excited for another week of the podcast. If any of our YouTube listeners see, I'm in a different space. I'm in a different background. I'm actually in my little brother's room back at my parents' house. He has a sick setup. So hopefully the
Dude.
production value will be even higher than it is
Dude,
back when I'm in
look at
Philadelphia.
the lights. I see the Polaroid behind you. Kermit's hanging out. It's a
There
nice
is an
spot.
ambiance in this room that is
Yeah,
unlike
it's
anything I've ever experienced.
a nice vibe. Yeah, it's a nice vibe. I like
It's a vibe. And today's vibes are going to be probably somewhat contentious. We're going to be chatting about the Jedi Order, which stirs up a lot in people. Some
Yes.
people love the Jedi, some people love to hate the Jedi. But we're going to open it up to anything that we want to talk about. And we have our Jedi expert here, Lord Dagovir. He's got some text to read. Let's give it up to him.
Yes, I love the text. Many things I know. Yes, no, I'm not. I wouldn't call myself a master in any way, shape, or form. I like to call myself an enthusiast. But today is going to be a very big day for people who hate the Jedi, people who dislike the Jedi. And it's not here to start hate or discourse. It's here to educate people on what content creators like Connor and myself and Daddy Sheev and everybody else that works on the, decent side of the fandom have to deal with people that just throw out ridiculous propaganda and hatred towards people that are clearly the, in terms of an idea, the guardians of peace and justice in the galaxy. And this is going to be about recruitment. It's going to be about philosophy. And there's probably going to be a lot of Anakin Skywalker fans thinking that they are correct. I myself am going to be one of those people. But so I want to get into that with the one and only Jedi Path book that Connor knows, I know, and a lot of people really enjoy. So without further ado, I would like to ask Jedi Connor and Daddy Sheev, how do you guys feel the Jedi handled not just the prophecy, but Jedi recruitment throughout the original trilogy?
I'll start. I think so. After reading some of the canon books, I think that there was way more that could have been done to help Anakin, and specifically that prophecy, because we see when Qui-Gon is first reading the prophecies when he's a youngling, and he is, I believe this book is it Dooku Jedi Lost, where we find, is it Dooku Jedi Lost, or it may be it's a different book. I forget which book it is, but Qui-Gon is reading through the prophecies. Maybe
Oh,
Master and
yeah, I
Apprentice.
think that's Master and Apprentice. Yes.
Yes, it's Master and Apprentice. He's reading through the prophecies, and I like people are talking like he's kind of like crazy. Like everybody's like, "Oh, Qui-Gon with his prophecies, like he's just kind of a little bit crazy." And I think that sentiment kind of goes through the entire Jedi Order for the most part, where people keep talking about the Chosen One. Basically, Qui-Gon's dying wish is for Obi-Wan to train, which is pretty much the only reason that we see him get approved to be a Jedi. So I think from the start, Anakin's journey is a unique one. And it seems as though the Jedi tried to fit him into like a square peg into a round hole. They're trying to force their ideals, which are good ideals for the most part. They're trying to preach justice. They're trying to preach doing the right thing. But there's some parts of the Jedi that don't work as well for Anakin because he started when he was 9 years old, which is probably one of the oldest Jedi, probably the oldest Jedi at the time to start. So I think they're, I just I, like I think their stubbornness is what caused eventually the downfall of the Jedi Order. And we can get into that later when we talk about the bureaucracy and we talk about how they were too worried about pushing papers and files instead of doing what they think is right with the Force. But my overall consensus, to make a long story short, is that they weren't flexible enough.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Daddy.
Excuse me. I would say, kind of second what Connor said. I think the Jedi always kind of had good intentions, but I think we see in the prequel trilogy, just that a little, a little hypocrisy, maybe a little corruption in there. Also, it's a good point, Connor, you bring up about Anakin starting at 9. I thought he was 10, but I'm pretty sure, I can't remember if it's canon or not, but there was something I read where like Obi-Wan was talking to him about like how he started as like the latest Jedi ever, which at least he's the latest Jedi to ever start from the prequel trilogy, but he might be the latest Jedi ever to start. So, even from the jump, like Anakin has like attachment and he has these things that, if you're recruited right away into the Jedi Order, you're not gonna like know who your family is. But obviously Anakin does, because his mom, is back on Tatooine, and which also, this is such a sidebar. I know they don't like attachment stuff, but that man did not see his mom for 10 years. Obi-Wan couldn't do a pit stop at Tatooine once. I know it's like against the Jedi. Anyway, that's a side tangent for another day. But yeah, I think that's like where Anakin comes in, is like he just has different, he's just a completely different Jedi. So like that's where like I kind of see that coming.
Hey, I would say today is the day. Today is the day to call out Obi-Wan for not going to visit Anakin's mom. I
Yeah.
think today is the day to do
Today
that.
is the day for that.
I wouldn't hold that on Kenobi. I would hold that on the entire council because I think, in my opinion, first off, you didn't want this kid at the be in the beginning. And then all of a sudden, by the end of the movie, all of a sudden now the council is telling you, okay, yeah, maybe he is the chosen one. Let's get it going. Let's teach this kid. Okay, so if that's the point, if that's the thing that we're doing, and he's literally the person that is literally supposed to bring back balance to the force, that, and I think that would be the whole purpose of the Jedi in the first place, right? So why are we not freeing his mom? Why are we not, catering to him in a way that we're going to make sure there's no excuses here and that he's going to be our son, the Jedi's product of all the ideology of thousands of years that this order has existed. I think that is a very good, calling out. Like you call the out the Jedi because it started at frame one, in
Yeah,
that whole
no way.
ordeal. But with recruitment, I think it's interesting because Anakin in the movie verse, maybe to George Lucas's eyes, was probably the latest Jedi, oldest Jedi to start training. But in the comics, especially in the expanded universe, we have Nomi Sunrider, who was a wife and had a child, and she was married to her husband, who was a Jedi, and her husband was gunned down and stabbed right in front of her, and even then, she did not ever want to have a lightsaber or fight because she used that lightsaber to strike down the people that killed her husband. Eventually, much later, because as life does, it tests her again, and she has to pick up the lightsaber and use her powers that she's been giving to. She becomes so powerful that she eventually becomes Grand Master of the Jedi Order. She's one of the most powerful Jedi, in my opinion, in all of Star Wars. So it goes back to like, okay, someone that was that had a wife, that has a kid, a daughter, and then that daughter also becomes a Jedi as well. The attachment thing makes sense. But it seems like maybe perhaps with the right teaching and the right surroundings, maybe Anakin could have been in a better spot with the people that he loved.
I think Anakin was in the wrong time for the Jedi Order because he inherited a Jedi Order that was at its lowest. That was the worst that we've seen the Jedi in all of canon, basically. And I'm sure closer to the expanded universe as well. But when we go back to the High Republic, and I think I'm probably going to reference the High Republic a lot during this podcast because
Which is relevant, I think so.
Yeah.
so relevant because that is what I think is the closest that you can get to like what a Jedi should be when these guys are having romantic relationships. They are
Elzar man.
discovering, yeah, Elzar Mann, my dog. You know what I mean? That's my guy. He's got the Jedi Riz, okay? That's my goat right there. And honestly, you bring up Elzar Mann. Elzar Mann he's very close to an Anakin Skywalker figure. He taps into the dark side at one point and
Rise
is
of the
like,
Storm.
dude, what is going on? Like
Yeah.
that's that to, a side note in Rising Storm, that's probably like my favorite Star Wars book, but that moment when he unleashes the dark side and he's like, oh my God, dude, what did I
What
do?
have I done?
Yeah, exactly. He like what the Jedi of the High Republic do is they sit back and they analyze their situation, and I think they cope with it better and they have a better understanding of what it means to not have attachments. Attachments doesn't mean not having relationships. It just means, hey, you can't place this relationship above your attachment and your duty to the Jedi Order into the galaxy. It's like, hey, you just have to be prepared to lose. It's almost when I'm gonna reference Avatar: The Last Airbender here, when he has to let go of
Katara.
Katara to become the Avatar. Now he doesn't do that at the time,
Doesn't do it.
which is what a lot of Jedi probably could face if they had a better idea, and they struggle through that in the High Republic. A lot of them have relationships that they care about, but they say, hey, like, I have to put this to the side. I haven't finished the High Republic, so I don't know exactly what happens with everything. But that is a great example of what I think Anakin should have inherited with the Jedi in the High Republic, as
Yes.
opposed to him having these bureaucratic, like, bootlicking, like, Jedi who just suck up to the Republic. I hate it.
Take a seat.
Well, I think what's interesting too about the High Republic is I don't know if you've gotten into this a little bit, Danny Sheev, but I think there's more room for them to fail. It's they're not completely
They're
how
not
can
at
I say this?
war, or like
Well, they're at war in a different
it's
way.
the
It's
kind of war.
not a civil war. Yeah, it's a different type of atmosphere that's happening. But also, I feel like there isn't as many people that are literally micromanaging all these Jedi, like Elzar Man. Like Elzar Man is literally in love with, in my opinion, someone that is worthy to be the Grand Master, and she's one of the most powerful Jedi in that era. Like she's probably the poster girl of the Jedi at that time too, I would say. And they are romantically interested in each other and they have history. And so they're allowed to F up and, do all these things where Anakin could not, absolutely not, get away with something like that. But you also see how crazy Elzar Man can get when things go bad. And in that book, Rising Storm, he is definitely on the edge of some dangerous things. But there's no Palpatine manipulating him. So it's really interesting to see shoulda, woulda, coulda, and everything else. Yeah.
Yeah, that's
Real
a good
crazy.
point, Dagovir. At that point, it's a different kind of war, but also there is no Sheev, the puppet master, pulling all the strings. Like the Sith are like still in hiding at this point. So like there's none of that. Like, I
Exactly.
mean, I'm not as familiar with the High Republic, but I'm gonna say there's not as much like dark side energy about.
No, it's different in that way. It's not, as Yoda would say, the shroud of the dark side to the point where the Jedi are practically like choking on the scales that are about to be tipped because they have no idea what's about to happen. But I do think a lot of this starts with the very beginning of how the Jedi operate. And that is recruitment. So I have a passage here that I want to read just really quickly, and I would love to see your reaction and your immediate thoughts on this. All right. So
Okay.
we're using the Jedi Path Book on page 142, and this is all about recruitment. And it says, locating Force-strong newborns is a straightforward process, at least within the Republic's borders. Mandatory blood tests performed at birth record the concentration of midichlorians in an infant's cells, and positive results are forwarded to the Jedi Temple for follow-up. Because midichlorian analysis not always is definitive, particularly among older children or beings with unusual psychologies, special tools and puzzles may be employed instead. Now it goes on about what happens with these tests. But the problem here is that basically the Jedi Order have the right to give you blood, to take your blood and measure it for midichlorians. And this goes all the way back to the Jedi Temple so they can see who is gifted in the Force and potentially recruit them. As long as you are born inside the domain of the Republic, these tests are mandatory.
They got a record of everybody. They got that big government.
I think that so this is for the prequel Jedi, correct? This is like the time of the prequels.
Yes, I think a really good note here is to understand that around the Bane Path of Destruction book, the Battle of Rusan happens. When that happens and the Sith and the Jedi are going through this war, the entire Jedi Order changes or they start developing these methods. That is probably that they used up and around the time of the prequel era.
Yeah, it's, yeah. I mean, if you're the Jedi Order, oh, sorry, go ahead, Johnny.
No, I cut you off. That's crazy. You got it, brother.
No, if you're the Jedi Order, and you're allowed the power by the Republic to do that, it makes sense why they would want to, especially in time of war. Now, I disagree with them being able to do that. I think that is...
It's kind of crazy.
It is crazy. It's almost a violation. I mean, it's a violation of, you know, kind of your privacy, but, like, it makes sense why they would want to do that as the Jedi Order.
I'm trying to prevent any possible Force beings from, you know... not becoming a Jedi and potentially
but also
becoming another kind of Force being. But that's probably why they first implemented it. Does it say in the book why like they did that like right after the Sith? Like that's probably why they did it.
So upon my research, it was because of the Battle of Rusan. It was because if you read Battle of the Destruction, basically like, you know, this is the time where the Jedi are practically, you know, on the brink of war with the Sith. The Sith are almost winning, and then eventually what the story happens is there's this giant bomb, Force bomb that happens, and then they realize, oh my god, this guy came from within the reins of the Republic. Darth Bane literally was working in the mines that was in Republic territory, became an enemy of the state, and then turned to the Sith, and then became one of the most powerful Sith Lords ever. So it was around that time where they realized, maybe we should probably be checking these people just in case so there is not another Darth Bane that happens.
One of the things also that I think, at least in canon, that we do know is that Force-sensitive children sometimes are very difficult to, like, parent. As a parent, like, a lot of times it's almost like, I'm trying to think of, like, a superhero. Almost like that these guys, are, like, you for everybody's own safety, basically, it's best if they are in the hands of people who know how to deal with people who are force sensitive. So that's another aspect that I think goes into that, where it's like, hey, it's a great honor for someone to become a Jedi in universe. But we also are like, hey, this kid is like, could be difficult. Like something bad could happen to this kid. So like bring him to us.
Yeah. I mean, on paper, I think it's worded terribly, and I'm so sorry, Connor, but there's much worse things that I'm going to tell you in this book. And we're going to get to the next one very soon. But the thing is like with me, when I see it on paper, it's worded terribly, but yes, you have to record and see who was out there and who could be special, because what if there is a Bane that the Jedi has no idea, by the way, they just know about the Battle of Rusan and what's going on with the war. So that's why they do it. Right. But then what if there is like another Palpatine that is stealing children and then he's raising an army, you know, or at the very least, these kids are force sensitive. And then their parents are abusive assholes, you know, and then they start getting abused. And what happens with people that are suffering? They get angry. They get mad. They get vengeful. They get violent. Dark side, you know. So I think in that point, yes, it makes sense. But then when you start to see the movies, and in my opinion, in all six movies, all original six movies, I think that all of the Jedi that came from that pre-established order make terrible decisions. Even in the original trilogy, because Obi-Wan Kenobi and Yoda do not want to tell Luke Skywalker that his father is Darth Vader. They are still doing Jedi things and making terrible Jedi decisions. So it makes sense why we see the Jedi as completely flawed. But when you look at someone like Luke, who learns from failures, at least in the expanded universe, it seems like there can be a way where the Jedi can be good people and these things do work.
Yeah, I think it's the fact that they transform themselves into being such a tool for the Republic that they lose their way completely. It is that's the biggest downfall, and why the Jedi are so frustrating is because you see, especially with the High Republic, with Luke Skywalker, with any of these people who become Jedi that have their own, we see it with Rey, we see it with Luke, any of these people who have abnormal Jedi training, they are way more capable as decision makers and just as Jedi in general, it seems like, then anybody who thinks outside of this dogmatic Jedi view is like Qui-Gon. We consider him like a really good Jedi.
Oh,
Anybody like Ezra, we see Kanan, all of these people who have abnormal, who break away at some point from this like Jedi order and like the everyday dogmatic views of them is like becomes a better Jedi. They become a better person and they become more powerful in the Force.
Real
Absolutely. quick, anytime you say dogmatic there, I just think of Palpatine when he's talking to Anakin, when he's talking about how he has a broader view of the Force, not just the dogmatic view of the
But see, that type of ideology is the perfect weaponry and propaganda that a lot of people use online. It's the same thing. It's like, oh, well, the Jedi don't want you to be happy. They don't want you to use emotions. They don't want you to have boyfriends and girlfriends and stuff. And that's not correct. And you could see where someone like Anakin and also fans who may have only watched videos or TikTok stuff, which is fine. I'm not saying that's bad,
Yeah,
but you
Walter
can
stuff.
see when you're not absorbing everything correctly, how easy it can be weaponized for someone's agenda.
Yes, because in the end, the Jedi are good people. Like,
Yes.
the Jedi are doing good in trying to do the best that they can
Good
in the
intentions.
galaxy for the most part. Whenever I'm reading a story about a Jedi, whenever, like, with the exception of like Pong Krell, who is evil,
Oh
like,
my God, fuck that guy.
Long girl.
But like the
That's
Jedi,
never
you're not
seen
gonna
it.
say that the Jedi are like evil, I don't think, as an entity.
No,
Like
no,
they
no,
make
no.
mistakes, but they are good.
Yeah. They're so one of the best parts of Revenge of the Sith is in the novel is the end, where Yoda is talking to Qui-Gon Jinn, and if you guys remember, where basically Kenobi comes into the room and Yoda is all like, "Oh my God, yeah, I can, I can teach you how to communicate with Qui-Gon Jinn." Before that happens, Yoda is sitting there like depressed as hell. And he's like, dude, it is my fault. Like, everything is my fault. And the reason why it's my fault is because I was one of the people that did not allow the Jedi to change. I did not allow the order to change. When I read those words, I almost threw the book that I was so mad, because it's just like one of those things where, you realize too late. It's just like all this shit had to happen for you guys to realize how completely twisted in some stupid way that was never even about the Force. That was never about the Jedi Order. It was never about the code. You lost your way, and that's why someone like Palpatine won. That's why, so why something like the Sith won, and that's why we consistently will have to defend the Jedi, even with their biggest F-ups, because God damn, it is hard.
Yes, and that is specifically why Bane decided to use the rule of two, because he saw the same stuff happening over and over and over. Infighting, people are killing each other. There's no ground being gained in the dark side. So he decided, hey, every single time that there's a death, we're going to take steps forward. Every time that someone fights with another person, someone's going to win, and it's going to be the better person. And then if that person's not good enough, we're going to get better after that. Every single step along the line is doing exactly the opposite of what the Jedi have done. They're taking steps back and back and back. And the Sith are catching up, 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 and then bang, those two fight, and we see the ultimate clash, and Yoda ultimately fails.
Yoda fails but honestly, I think it was the order, because I think people around him too were also like, yeah, bro, yeah, so that's a great idea. Yeah, you cooked, it was the way, but to get back into recruitment and the Jedi Order, this I think is one thing that I always bring up in these videos, and I would love to see what you guys say about this. So on page 143 of the Jedi Path book, it says, "The Jedi are kidnappers, question mark. An all too familiar accusation for Jedi recruiters. This charge springs from the pain of emotional attachment. It is also technically false. Within the Republic, the Jedi Order has the legal authority to take custody of Force sensitives, and some masters have argued that the Force's presence in a child indicates the child's consent to join the Order even before he or she is able to speak."
That's crazy.
Yeah, that's just insane. That's just insane.
Isn't that absolutely insane, bro?
Dude,
I
that's
don't.
about
I.
entitlement. Like,
If.
oh, we have the right to your kid. Yeah.
But to
Jedi.
me, this to me is like something that is just so ridiculous. I would have been in storyboard, and I would be like, dude, you cannot put this in this book? Like, once it's out there, it's out there. That's it. This is massive printed, massive on so many different levels. There are PDFs of this thing that you can find online for free to download and show. The fact that it says that, and this is 40 plus years of expanded universe that is in there, all you're doing is making it seem like the Jedi are the bad guys. Absolutely, especially with that word consent, that masters believe that the force being inside this child is consent enough for you to take them.
Yeah, I just disagree with that completely. Like that is actually insane.
Yeah, man.
I don't even have a lot to say on that, because that's
Yeah,
just
I
like,
don't either. It's just kind of wild, like the
which I
there.
don't think we see any of that in the
We
actual
really
like
don't.
movies or
No,
TV
that is
shows.
no. I don't think so. I mean, like, I
I've
guess
seen that.
because there's some comics. All right, so like, I'm gonna tell you guys. There's the Old Republic comics, okay? And a lot of people like these comics. I don't like the Old Republic comics too much. This one line, and one of these things is about like a prophecy, and someone gets so terrified that they see a vision of Darth Vader, and it terrifies the living hell out of them, that they start hunting down Padawans that they believe have a chance or have shown potential to fall to the dark side. This is literally
Driven
something,
by fear.
this is literally something is like someone getting angry or upset or crying, right? And they go off and they start killing Padawans because it fits the bill. That they believe that these people are eventually going to turn into this figure that they have no idea who it is. It's clearly a Sith Lord that's going to be responsible for destroying the Jedi. It's Darth Vader. And they're just axing people like crazy. Bodies, bodies, bodies. You know? And this is also connected to this, because it's another thing that just adds to the idea and the propaganda, the falsehood that the Jedi are evil. Because these stories exist in the continuity of legends.
Yeah, I think the main thing is that a lot of people don't, they project these non-canon stories onto our canon stories. And you have to be able to, as a fan, separate them. Even if you don't like the fact that Disney bought Star Wars, even the fact that you don't think that the sequels are canon, like that stuff cannot be projected onto the actual facts of Star Wars canon. Because although a lot of things from Legends are integrated into canon and things like that, when you get into like the fine details of like, oh, this book said this, that, like you can't project that onto stuff that is not canon, or that is canon. You know what I mean?
Yeah, and then you just get, all this confusion and everything's all twisted up. So.
Yeah, my thing is like, because Legends, of course, was canon, and some people still believe that it is because of whatever. I have my head canon. I think that a lot of the stories are canon until they get a substitute, like I've always talked about. My thing is that this thing, like these people, this specific story is they are very clearly no longer Jedi. There may be a master or two in there. There may be Jedi Knights, of course. But these people are clearly operating against what the Jedi represents. They are going completely against the ideology and the code of the Jedi. They are no longer good. Why would you, in that moment, think that these people represent all the Jedi?
Yeah, that's the thing. Like, just because some, like, the 99% of the Jedi that we have seen are like upstanding citizens who want to do good for the
Yeah.
world, that want to do this. And then there's just a couple of
Couple
people
bad
that
apples.
are
Couple.
outliers that,
Yeah.
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 And that doesn't, a lot of the things that we see that are bad, like all the Anakin stuff and
Yes.
that stuff, that is not what the Jedi Order is supposed to be.
Yes.
And people can't just project their stuff
Yeah.
onto your videos, Dagavir, my videos, Johnny's videos, any of that stuff. Like, just let's just take a chill pill there for everybody.
Yeah.
Yeah. Go on, Daddy Chef. I thought you were gonna say something.
Oh no, I wasn't gonna say anything. I thought I was waiting for you to read maybe the third passage here.
I'll get to that. But I like again, exactly what Connor says. But it's not just like every video. I mean, it is, but it's more so like This is what's been happening with the fandom for the past, I want to say, 15 years. Like when I go on, when I first saw my first positive prequel comment on YouTube about Anakin Sky, about Hayden Christensen portraying Anakin Skywalker correctly, that's when I started to see that I wasn't alone in liking Anakin Skywalker. Because when I was growing up in 2005, when this movie came out and I was a sophomore in high school, you were getting made fun of for liking Anakin Skywalker, right? And then with the YouTube era, in the forum era, there was people that all of a sudden began to like Anakin, but because they liked Anakin, they hated the Jedi for what they did to him, right? And it seems like that has slowly transitioned into something like this, where people are just taking notes, keeping receipts, right? But not because they read the books themselves. It's because someone actually did the work, and maybe they made a YouTube video or someone said this on Reddit or something. And so now it's been accumulating and accumulating and accumulating over and over, to the point where all of a sudden we have creators talking about how the Sith code is about freedom and emotion and expression, where anybody that's read the Darth Bane trilogy or anyone that has understood what Revan's holocron said knows that it's completely opposite, and it's about slavery and how the weak are only supposed to,
Power.
yeah, exactly, how the weak only exist to serve the powerful, and just as Connor pointed out, only the strong survive, which is a complete folly and misunderstanding of the Jedi and the Sith and the dark side and the light side. It's a complete fundamental misunderstanding of Star Wars.
For sure. Also, I just have to note, Connor, I made the exact same face when you said that about the Sith. I was like, what?
Dude, I'm not joking. This is words. I'm just not spewing out shit here. All
I
right.
know, I
Yeah,
know. It's
I
facts. It's mega facts. I'm
know.
agreeing with you. But yeah.
It seems like it's a lack of like media literacy for people who do all of these things where they've like seen a YouTube video. They've seen that some of the bad things that the Jedi have done, some of the mistakes that the Jedi have made. And like, I feel like I'm gonna be saying the same thing, but it's like you can't project all of these things onto like a certain character or a certain like an order altogether.
Right.
It's not That's not the way to do things. You have to realize that there is a slow transition from what the Jedi were to what the Jedi are now, and there's a reason that the circumstances were available to Palpatine to manipulate everything, because at this point the Jedi are not the most powerful thing in the galaxy in the prequels. It's the Republic. The Republic seems to have more power because they control the Jedi. Palpatine, as the Chancellor, controls what the Jedi do, and that's exactly what he does. He sends the Jedi off on missions, capturing Padme, trying to save Padme. Oh, they're close to my plan. They almost found out something really important to my overall plan. Oh, let's send them over this way. Let's do this way, that way. Like Palpatine, because he's the head of the most powerful organization in the world, can control the Jedi and manipulate Anakin and do
That's
everything
why
else that
he's
he does.
the
Yes.
MVP.
Yeah, dude. Yeah, it's especially when you watch the prequels. I think especially as a first time watcher, someone's experienced it, they start to realize like, man, I thought these Jedi people were supposed to like be monks and going around and do good things, but they are so intertwined with this political whatever that is happening. It's almost as if like night and day, like their mood and their purpose is based on whatever decision is being made inside these Senate doors, which is crazy. Especially when, you read the Tales of the Jedi comics, and of course the expanded universe, the movies are obviously different from the books and the comics and the expanded universe. But Star Wars is very unique, where like everything at one point is canon, right? When it comes to the video games and the books and stuff like that, it's a one intertwined universe where everything matters. These choices matter. And so like when the Jedi Code is created, and then you see everything else with the Knights of the Old Republic, and then of course the Bane trilogy that we talk about until we get to the prequels. And then even after that with the original trilogy, where Luke has to do this and pick up everything and start anew, where like, okay, well, I can't recruit people anymore. I literally have to invite people that are force sensitive, that are grown ass adults, or maybe that is someone's kid, so the rules are different, and the Republic, the New Republic, allows him to do so, which is how it was in Legends, So it's all a very interesting perspective when you absorb the universe so much, and Yeah, it's even Luke, by the way, in Legends, had a problem with his Jedi Order getting too political, to the point he even removed himself and the Jedi from the political system and moved them to Ossus, which was the original planet in canon, one of the original planets of the Jedi Order. So it's very interesting because I don't think people really acknowledge that because they always talk about how perfect Luke is and the new Jedi Order is. But even Luke had his radicals, and even R Luke had to deal with his problems that we saw in the prequel trilogy.
One of the things that, since like reading more expanded material in canon, when you think about it, Luke, after Return of the Jedi, has nobody to really connect with at first, and then he connects with Ahsoka. Then he connects. I'm sure he'll connect with like Ezra Bridger at some point, and these people. But he is going off of like these old Jedi texts that he finds. And we see him, in my opinion, not make enough of a change from what the Jedi were, which is why he is so distasteful towards the Jedi in The Last Jedi. And when he tells Rey, hey, the Jedi created Darth Vader, the Jedi were the reason that the Republic fell, all of this stuff, that is his own failure of not being flexible enough. Where he was starting, he started from this like really, he was a phenomenal Jedi at the end of Return of the Jedi, and his situation was very different to starting to try to fit into that mold of more of what the prequel Jedi were doing, not specifically with like the politics of it, but with the attachment stuff. And it just seemed like he never got that to that point where he was able to create like the ideal Jedi that I think he should have at a certain point.
And even in Legends, where it starts off pretty rocky for him because, yes, just like you said, in a new canon, there isn't many people that he can talk to. I mean, even in the first couple pages of Heir to the Empire, Kenobi sees him. And he's like, dude, I'm not going to be able to be here for a while. I have to go because I got to go do this thing in the Force domain. But like, you got this. I believe in you, you know? So it's kind of crazy that, yes, at every moment, Luke is kind of in this really crappy situation. And even in the new canon, where I felt like they could have done certain things, and you mentioned The Last Jedi mentioned, I think in that part, he's, in my opinion, he's cooking. Like, he's speaking straight facts. And that's actually one thing that I love. He's like, yeah, dude, really, you tell him this is exactly what happened with these Jedi, you know? But there are parts like in Shadow of the Sith where you see Luke probably being exactly who we thought he would be in that time, in that era, correcting the errors. And of course, in Legends, there's a lot of stuff where that he does really, really well. But even when he does something really, really well, and he starts inviting people, somebody else starts to adopt ideals that do not fit the bill. And I think that's just the problem with this ideology of the Jedi when they're intertwined with politics and being a part of the Republic.
Yeah, I agree. Johnny, do you have anything to add to that?
I've just been kind of hanging out, guys.
I know, dude. I was
I feel
like,
like Dagavir and I are just yapping to each other and just expressing all of our
that's
frustrations because.
I'll yap a bit. I mean, yeah, that's kind of a good point, Dagavir. It's pretty evident, the second Jedi get involved in politics, that's when, things go south. We even saw it. I know people don't like the show, but I'll say its name. I know people are going to cringe. The Acolyte, you even see in
That's a
there
great
that,
example.
yeah, exactly. It's a great, we haven't talked about it enough yet on the pod, but it's a great example of seeing, the start of, the Senate and the Republic being more of the, governing body, the Jedi kind of, falling in line with these things. They framed my poor boy, my Pookie. Master Soul, I'm still mad about that. But just kind of that stuff, like the second the politics got involved in the Jedi, I feel like that was their inevitable downfall because they got away from their core principles and kind of became, I don't know what the right term is. They kind of just became a
It became a tool for the
the
Republic.
tool of the Republic instead of like, their true purpose. and just listening to the Senate blindly instead of like following the force maybe or following like what they believe to be is correct, but no, they got to bend the knee to the Senate because the Senate says we need to do this.
And that is why I encourage anybody who is listening to read the High Republic, some of the High Republic. You don't have to read all 30 whatever books,
At least
but like
the main books. At
the
least the
main
main
books
books.
are so good at, well, first of all, they're great books in general, but you see what the Jedi should be, and the Acolyte is the end of the High Republic. So you see the Jedi start here at the High Republic, the very top, and then you see them slowly, slowly, slowly. And by the time that they get to the Acolyte, we see that the Jedi are that like senators are just like in the Jedi temple, like talking to them,
Yeah, it happened.
like I forget if it was like the Chancellor or something, like they're blackmailing the Jedi basically. Like they are so intertwined with politics at that point. At that point that we're talking about, where they have to lie and they have to frame Saul. And we see even Yoda is there, and he is
Yoda knows.
right there talking to senators. He's right there pushing paperwork. It's not just his fault, but it is just something that I wish Yoda would have seen coming, and he didn't. And it's so frustrating, and it's so good to read where they were to where they are now at the prequels, and even in the Acolyte, that's where we first see that first like kind of really integrate themselves into the Republic.
Yeah, and I there's so much that we can get into, and I want to get into it after I tell you this last final part, which I think
Okay.
is really
Got one
interesting.
more reading? All right, let's hear it.
What one last one. But yeah, there's a lot of good points, but I want to talk about this last one because this, in my opinion, is also one of the crappy things about the Jedi Order, because this is also something that we don't see happen too often. When you know about Count Dooku, Jedi Connor, you know about Keeve Trennis and a few other characters, but this is really interesting when the Jedi have recruited these people, and this is what happens if they fail the initiate trials. And for those that do not know, the initiate trials is basically the point where they eventually become Padawans and they get picked by a master. So this is like a pretty big part for any younglings that have been recruited in the last 8 years and lived in the Jedi Order. So it says on page 45, some of you may not follow either path. Regretfully, the council may decide the path of the Jedi is not for you. If you arrive at this decision yourself, then it is the force. Then it is the force speaking to you, and you are not meant to follow the Jedi path. Should this be your destiny, remember your training as you build a new life and seek out opportunities to benefit to yourself and others. And this can happen even if you pass the trials and demonstrate power in the Force and your lightsaber skills and the Jedi Code, which is mandatory for passing these Jedi trials.
So the council can just literally be like, nah, bro, you ain't good enough. Get out.
The council can say, well, that's good, but we feel that this is not for you. Now, there are other paths you can go into if they believe that you're not ready. Maybe you didn't have a relationship with a master or a Jedi Knight, which is another part of this initiate trials. So maybe you go into the arc and maybe you go into the archivists or the farmers or the medical. There's a whole bunch of things, the explorers. There's like four factions that you can go to help and contribute you to the Jedi Order. But if it's none of those things, the High Council can just say, "Nah, you're done. You and you are also not allowed to stay in the temple anymore."
You're done.
Yeah, that is,
Wow.
a that's, I
nine
mean,
a
that's
nine
terrible.
year old kid, probably 10-year-old kid, probably, who also just got recruited and has no idea who their parents are.
They,
Yeah,
after all
that
that,
makes,
send them away. That's crazy.
they have spent more time with the Jedi Order than their parents.
You don't know anything else.
Yeah, that is
That's
something
wild.
that the Jedi need to like take responsibility for those people. Like you can't just like send a kid out
Yeah.
to fend for themselves. They need some sort of like severance program.
Yeah,
Like
they need
they
severance, they
need
need some
severance pay or
benefits, they
something.
need get some housing up in there, get some, government
We need some
meals,
affordable
get them a
housing. We need some.
job. Yeah, they need education, college. Is there University of
Please.
Coruscant? Hook him up. He was a Jedi, he was
I
pretty
think the
smart.
Jedi Order, I think the Jedi are socialists. They need to They need to supply the people that they can't help, and they need to give them free housing. They need to give them free education. They need to do everything to reintegrate into society.
Imagine what it is to me is like, imagine being the best athlete in recreational ball, and then middle school and then high school, and then you're not good enough to make the pros. So everything that you've done in your life, you're trash. Get out of here. And it's insane to me that this person is still very special. This person is still incredibly talented. This person can help everybody else benefit. But if because they don't want to be a doctor, or they don't like reading, or they don't want to go out and explore space, or be an archivist, or a farmer, all of a sudden the path is not for them. Which you had said this path was for them, because that is why you recruited them in the first place. All of a sudden, 8, 9, 10 years later, they effed up. The force is telling them now, when you also reiterated that the force being inside them is consent alone for you to own them. That is absolutely wild. I don't know how canon this book was, but to me, when it's produced last, in Legends, 40 plus years, there are things to me that are absolutely canon. This was something that I would, this is religious to me. Same thing with the Book of the Sith. These two books are absolutely incredible that I see as like, yeah, until there's a replacement, it's canon to me. And the fact that that is printed on there and is insane to me. I don't know why you would allow yourself to allow the Jedi to be scrutinized like this. I feel like it's feeding into the idea that, yeah, the Jedi were so far up their noses and asses that they just did not know what the hell that they were doing. Maybe that's part of it, right? Because when I watch all
I
six
think
movies,
that's
like I
just
was,
the part,
yeah,
just a little bit.
yeah, I feeds into the this is dogma, because Connor, even in the new canon, Master Yoda is not doing good things in the High Republic.
No.
I don't. Yeah, there's some things that this guy has swept under the rug. Some things that nobody knows about. And it still seems like a pretty big component. Why? Because the movies will never be rewritten or rebooted. Those prequels will be there forever.
Yeah, and I think that's the stuff where they are so intertwined with the politics that they don't want things getting out because of rumors and because of what people think about them. At that point is when you've lost the Jedi Order. The Jedi Order is supposed to be doing good things for people, and they're not supposed, they're supposed to act of their own volition and of their own code, as opposed to, oh, I don't want this senator to spread this rumor about our Jedi Order because then the people won't trust us. Like, the people should trust you because you're the Jedi, not because this politician said they should be able to trust you. So at that point, you've lost the entire order.
Dude, it's like he's just trying to save Jedi PR. Like they're about to be on like CNN on space CNN and get blasted. He's got to try to
And
go save face.
it's because they are not with the people.
No.
The Jedi are not on outposts. They're not in the trenches, basically,
They're
is
in
what I'm
the
saying.
temple. They're
They're
above
at the
ground in
temple.
Coruscant. A lot of people live below the surface of Coruscant. All the poor people. And they're out there on, the high level, the wealthy. So
In
yeah,
the
that's might be part of it.
Yeah, in the High Republic, we see that it's almost mandatory for Jedi to go to these Outer Rim planets. And granted, it's during the exploration of the Outer Rim where there are frontiers and there are other stuff and there's people that need to be protected. But that doesn't change over the years. You know what I mean? There are abandoned Jedi outposts that have not been touched for hundreds of years. Some people have never even seen a Jedi out there.
They have no
So
idea. Yeah.
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 That,
Yeah.
yeah.
Go on, Connor.
No, I was just gonna say that at that point, like, you're not doing what you were set out to do because you did do that before, but then something changed where you have to shift your focus elsewhere and you never go back to that point where you're trying to help every day, you're trying to help people.
Yeah. And I think that's what's so cool about this book, too, because even if this book people say is not canon anymore, there's still parts of this book that are being used in canon today. You know, like Acolyte is a really good example of how there's Jedi temples, like we were talking about, everywhere
Yeah, that was
in the
cool.
Outer Rim, everywhere else. This is a part of the exploration core where they go out and they try to bring new systems and planets into the Republic, or they're just going out and, you know, basically being like, you know, the Coast Guard or forces, special forces out there that are trying to help people with like certain things that are happening, you know. So they're out there, they're there, they're doing things, but it's clear that at a certain point in, you know, 1,000 years, you know, 300 years, 400, 500 years before and after the High Republic, like the Jedi changed. That was so intertwined with so many different things that that wasn't a part of their origin. And no matter what's happening in Star Wars lore, the Jedi will never escape this attack. They will never escape this questioning of whether or not they their morality, you know, and their purpose in the galaxy. And with all my lore, dude, I don't know. I don't know if I can convince people no matter what, because there's just so much evidence that I think is just too hard against them.
Yeah, no, that is a very good point where if especially if you're making a video, and people are just in the comments just like throwing as much as they can at you where it's like, oh, the Jedi did this,
He was right.
you're not gonna be able to help it.
Yeah.
But one of the things that I just remembered when I read The Living Force, I don't know if you've read that
Yes.
book, Dagavir,
Yeah.
where the whole plot of the movie is the book is the entire Jedi Council goes on a mission because Qui-Gon calls them out and he says, listen, you guys have not been in the trenches. When was the last time you helped somebody? Basically, he challenges Yoda to talk. Yoda and Mace Windu, they challenge them to kind of basically like go on a field trip, and they all go to this planet where the Jedi Temple has not been touched in like 500 years, and they go and throw like a celebration, and then obviously some stuff happens where things go awry, but they all have to. The whole plot of the book is like every single Jedi Master on the Jedi High Council
Yeah.
has to like go in the trenches and help somebody.
Yes.
And then Yoda, in that, he has an inner monologue basically where he's like realizing like, I'm pushing papers. That's what I'm doing right now. Like, what happened to me?
Yeah. Yes. Yeah, man.
That sounds like a cool book. I haven't read that. I need to check that out. How
Yeah,
far is
Johnny,
it
I.
before Phantom Menace? It can't be that much longer before Phantom Menace.
Yeah, it takes place a couple of years before
Yeah,
Phantom Menace. Yeah.
it's not too much. Yeah, it's
Okay.
very early. Yeah, it's there's some stuff in there that I didn't like, but it's a decent book because I think the same guy that does that did one of the video games, I can't remember, and some of the legend stuff that I like from the Old Republic. So he's a pretty good writer.
Yeah,
He
John
knows
Jackson
stuff.
Miller is the author.
Yes.
Cool.
Yeah, but I can talk about that for literally forever. Like the Jedi and how they went wrong. Because listen, Dagobert, I'm a Jedi stan, all right?
Yeah,
I support the Jedi,
Yeah, that makes three of us.
but I get so fired up. I get so fired up about what they did wrong.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's very evident in my opinion, like what they did wrong. And it's just frustrating because they could have done so many things to like change, and they just didn't for one reason or another. That's what really gets me going.
Yeah, it thinks it's really frustrating for me because I'm a Sith boy, you know, like I don't like I only until like the last like 6 years of my life have I started to rehabilitate myself and, you know, become a decent person, genuinely, you know, because I wasn't before. You know, I was very Anakin and just head, I all right, you're angry, you know, F you because F me, you know, whatever, you know, me against the world. A terrible mentality to have, you know, especially if I'm around the wrong people in my life, you know. So there's a lot of things that I can understand with Anakin. But then as you get older, there's the decision-making part. And you start to realize, all right, maybe the responsibility, we should probably start taking responsibility for the decisions that we've made for ourselves, which is something I feel like a lot of Anakin Skywalker fans can't seem to comprehend and understand when they defend Anakin, you know? And although, like, I really appreciate the bad guys in movies and stuff, especially this since they're my favorite characters, like Vader and like Kylo and all these characters, you know, like Revan and Exar Kun. You know, there's a lot of stuff that I can always say, like, oh, okay, yeah, I really appreciate that. But I don't always want to be right, especially in Star Wars, where because I maybe I want to be a Jedi one day, you know, but it's stuff like that where I can just be like, you guys F this up. Why should I even join your team? You know, if these guys obviously that I'm with are pretty crappy, but like now you guys are also showing stuff that's kind of dirty, and I don't know, you know, what is this on this page, and what happened with this guy, you know? So it's just really frustrating, no matter what era of Star Wars, it seems like the Jedi F up, you know? And yeah, I don't want that to happen, but it seems like I just don't want this negative people to be correct, you know?
Man,
And it's just so much fuel to the fire, bro. I just can't.
I will say, you just speaking there just made me think of a line from Luke in
Oh,
Episode 8, the legacy of the Jedi is failure.
yeah.
Yeah.
But he is misguided in that. That's the whole point, is that Luke
Yeah,
is.
yeah.
He is misguided with his own failure, and he
Yeah.
has been
Projecting a bit.
projecting his own
Yeah.
failures, and Rey brings him to his senses at that point. Like,
Yeah.
yeah.
yep. That's the whole point. When people are talking about like, yeah, but Luke would never say this about this, like he's wrong at that point. Like, and then he realizes that he is right, or that Rey is right, and that the Jedi are good. The Jedi strive for good. They don't always get there, but they strive, and I
He's
think that's
driving
the
to be
most
good.
important thing.
Yeah, she's a little, I mean, not a little. She's very naive in that movie, but I think that is the point to
Necessary.
show, because Luke had to be a little naive, especially going up with the two most evil people in the Death Star, second Death Star, and trying to rescue his father, being the Jedi that he was, you know? So there are things that I appreciate, don't accept. Oh, well, I accept, but you know how I am. But it's stuff like that where I don't want Luke to be me, you know? I don't want to be reminded about me. I live with me every day, you know? So it's when that's why I read the stories, especially with Legends, you know, and I see Luke, oh wow, Luke is not a complete F up. Yeah, sure, yes is up, F's up, but like he's doing what his father could not, you know, and that's what I feel like future Jedi and even Rey should do, is like, please learn from the mistakes and be what a Jedi is supposed to be. What is that? We have not seen that yet. Genuinely, we've seen parts of it yet, but we haven't seen what a true Jedi Order can be in live action.
Well,
I
maybe we
agree.
get that in the new Rey series.
I hope, man. I was saying this yesterday on my podcast, or excuse me, my stream, where I was just like, I hope she takes her, you know, first steps into this grandmaster era of her character that we have seen in Legends from Luke. If I can get parts of that, not to the point where she's omnipotent and manipulating black holes or anything like that, I'm talking about like the philosophy and
Yeah,
understanding. You have the Jedi
simple.
text, bro. Yeah,
Yeah.
you know, like come out, let's go, start
Yeah.
cooking, you know?
I agree. And I think when to go back a little bit, when we're talking about how Rey was naive in that movie, I'm sure Luke saw himself in Rey at a certain point when Rey breaks through.
Yeah.
Hey, I was the one that hopped in that X-wing and blew up the Death Star. I'd never been in an X-wing before. Hey,
Never
I
flew.
was the one who disobeyed literal force ghosts and decided to go back and save my friends. And then I got my
Yes.
hand cut off.
Yeah.
Yes.
Hey, I was the one that went to the room with Emperor and Vader, and I gave myself up. I got arrested by my father. Like,
Yeah.
I'm
I
sure
tried to turn my
after
father.
so many years
Yeah.
of being on that island and ruminating in your failures, that when you see a beacon of hope like Rey, it reminds him like, hey, this is what being a Jedi is about. Not the fact that I messed up, Yoda messed up, Obi-Wan messed up, everybody had messed up before me. Like, this is a new hope, and this is what I think we can do. Because I was the new hope, and now Rey is.
And then they fucking killed him. We're not getting into that. That was, we already had that podcast. We already had
That's
that.
just my interpretation
I know. But
of
that's
that.
a good way to put it. That got me thinking because like I know people on this pod and maybe on the internet had a problem with how Luke was portrayed in 8. But from that perspective, like that's kind of a good point, like for Luke's arc of like, you know, being kind of the legend and you know, trying to do good as a Jedi and then kind of losing his way, but then coming back kind of thing. So I
And
thought that
one
was
of the things,
a good.
yeah, and Luke is always trying to do things by himself. And I'm
Yeah.
reading Shadow of the Sith right now, and Lando pulls up to him because in this book, we obviously know Lando had his daughter abducted. His Lando's daughter was abducted, and Luke, right out, he's on Tython right now in this book, and Lando pulls up because he's heard stuff about like Palpatine's son. He doesn't know that yet, but there's basically something happens where he learns about the Sith, and he comes back to Luke on Tython and is like, "Dude, like I have something, like I need to talk to you." And then Luke's like, "No, like leave right now, like it's dangerous here. Leave, 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 leave." And then he's talking about the Sith, and he's like, "Oh my God!" Like, and he keeps pushing Lando away because he keeps wanting to do things by himself. He's like, "Lando, like no, like I can do this. It's too dangerous." And I think that's ultimately a character point that like leads him into The Last Jedi, where he's like, "I have to do this by myself. I have to destroy the Jedi. I have to make sure the Jedi don't hurt anybody else by myself." That's the only thing that he can do at that point, which is the way that I view that movie. And I know we're getting off topic, but I just
Yeah,
like.
we got off to
But
we had
no,
this
no,
problem.
no. It's no, but it is not off topic though, because even Luke in that moment, in my opinion, is trying to build up and improve a legacy that he knows is flawed. And with everything that we're talking about, and this may be the only positive thing I say about The Last Jedi, but it goes very well as a parallel to his character in The Last Jedi, because what does he bitch and complain about in that movie? I was the legend, Luke Skywalker. And even still, when he is in that book, Shadow of the Sith, he is thinking about that now, that he has to do this because he was the one that came out of the Death Star when Darth Sidious and Vader did not. He was the one that rebuilt the Jedi Order when Kenobi and Yoda could not, you know? So it all goes into this, but you can see where even Luke Skywalker seems like in this new canon, even he couldn't handle it and he needed help. But there was nobody else, which is, in my opinion, another issue with the Jedi and how they just put all this shit on the New Hope, you know? So yeah, man, I think there's a lot of things here. If you look at the Star Wars universe when it comes to the Jedi and how this philosophy, this idea of the Jedi is flawed, maybe even in the code itself. Maybe that also has to change. You know, the name can stick, but this thing, I think, all has to be reinvented and hit the reset button.
And I think that's where Luke went wrong, right at the beginning, where he's like, "I have these Jedi texts, and I have to start at like." What Rey needs to do is realize, like, "Hey, Luke didn't do what he thought he was going to do. Like, I have to take it upon myself, and also all of these other people that I'm with. Like, I need to share this burden, other than just." Taking it on yourself. I wish it was Ben Solo along with her. You know what I mean? To share that burden. But that's my biggest gripe with the sequel trilogy is the fact that Ben Solo is not alive right now. He needs to be alive. Oh God. I need him, bro. He's one of your top five characters.
He's top
Yeah,
two.
like I can see his helmet behind you. He's right there.
He's my boy, dude. Yeah. No, it's Anakin and Vader, and then it's him, you know? And then
Yeah,
I got
Kylo's
all
a
my
dog.
old Republic buddies over
Oh,
here.
yeah.
But yeah, man, it's fresh. But I think that's also what is so fun about Star Wars is because even with the flaws, even with the issues, we will not shut up about it. Because even this podcast can go till 12 o'clock at night, baby. And that's the fun thing. Because I hope when these next movies come out, whether it's Starfighter episode 11, 12, 13, whatever the F that they decide to do, I would like to see an entire Jedi Order. Do I want to see new Jedi Order like Legends? Parts of it, I think they need to incorporate, but I want to see what they can really do here with what they have, because the expanding universe is solid, no matter what anybody wants to says. And this is
A
coming
lot
from
of
a,
material there. Yeah.
yeah, this is coming from someone that is very outspoken about the sequels. I still think that there is a great foundation to build off and just invest into the characters and don't leave Finn behind, please, God. You know, just get it done, man. Do what you couldn't do in the sequel
Yep,
trilogy and
save
more.
my boy.
And that I think is going to do it for me today and mess
Yeah.
and talking about these things. There are always stuff in the source books that I want to talk to you about, especially as we get closer to Halloween with some horror stuff.
Oh,
So
whoop, whoop.
yeah, man, a lot of good
Galaxy
stuff, man. But I'm
Edge.
excited, baby. Let's go.
Absolutely. Johnny, anything, any last words?
Nah, I'll just say. Don't forget to check us out on TikTok. Follow me at Daddy Sheev. Maybe I'll post again. I should. But yeah, thanks so much for listening if you're still here.
Absolutely, guys. Follow us, Starlight Podcast. You can find all of us on TikTok. We are gonna keep giving you guys these podcasts. It's such a beacon of light in my week that I get to speak Star
Yeah,
Wars.
we just get to yap for an hour about Star Wars with the boys. It's a good time. And if you're still listening, thank you so much.
May the Force be with you all.
Thank you,
Have a good
guys.
one. See ya.